Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess. I'm Anita Marks, and joining us today is Corey Webster, a.k.a. Webby.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yep, that's it.
All right, well, let's get right into it. And first and foremost, unfortunately, you guys lose to the Washington Redskins earlier this week. Where's this team at right now mentally?
I think we focused. Everybody had came here, wanted to get that bad taste out of our mouth. So everybody was running around, enthusiastic at practice, and we having fun.
Now, this was the second time you guys went up against RG3. That was a big topic going into this game, that you had already faced him once. You kind of knew what they were going to bring. Mm. Did they do anything different? What was it like the second time around?
Didn't do too much different. We didn't stop the run. And when you don't stop the run, that opens up the play action. And they was able to go 9-for-10 on play action passes. So you got to stop the run. It all starts up front. And hopefully we can do that this week against the Saints and, you know, get that taste out of our mouth.
It was pretty interesting. The first time your defense faced RG3, a lot of your defensive players said that he was the best quarterback you guys had faced all season. Do you still believe that? Do you still believe RG3 is one of the best in the NFL?
I think he's one of the best quarterbacks, what he does. I think he's a very intelligent kid. And the way they use him in the offense, I think he does a great job of getting the ball to the playmakers, also making plays with his legs or buying time to make plays with his legs and throw the ball down the field. So I think he's one of the top quarterbacks that we face.
All right, just a reminder, Big Blue Nation, this is a show for you to call in, have an opportunity to talk to Corey Webster. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's talk about you for a hot second. You're finally healthy. I think people, because you didn't miss any games, I don't think people realize what you were going through with your hand, and I'm seeing a lot more physicality with you and both Prince and Mukamura on the line. Talk about how healthy you are right now.
I had a broken hand early in the season, so it's kind of hard to be physical with receivers. You know, we love to put our hands on the receivers, you know, trying to dictate some of that timing or change up some of that timing down the field. So, we're getting a lot of players healthy. Prince and myself are getting back healthy. So it's easier to go out there and be a little more physical with them and, challenge them a little more.
Talk about Prince Amukamara. First-round draft pick. Had a rough road, I think, leading up to the fact that he is the starting corner opposite you. Your thoughts on him and his play and how good of a corner he is in the NFL?
Well, I think he did good with what he had, you know, dealing with. You know, he came in, he had a couple of injuries. We didn't have any OTAs at the time when he came in, so everything was kind of thrown up on him. But I think now that he's settled in, he understands the role, he's getting better and better from week to week. And he's a very intelligent kid. He comes in looking to learn, trying to soak up the information as a sponge. And I think he's doing well, and he's going to keep on moving up the ladder.
Now, this is only his second year in the NFL. Have you been somewhat – who's the mentor for him? Who's taking him under his wing?
It's almost by committee, you know what I mean? We have, all the secondaries, a lot of the older guys, you know, he picks their brain, asks them for questions on and off the field. But on the field, you know, it's myself, Trell, to help him with some of the, the techniques and the fundamental things as the secondary position, you know, is us.
So, because Sam Madison did that for you, right?
Mm-hmm. So, Sam Madison, R. Dub McQuarters, opened up the arms, took us in, and we're doing the same thing to our younger guys, Hoseley and Prince.
Let's talk about some of your other guys in the DB category at your position. Antrell Roll playing the slot a lot this season, and a lot of that big reason is because you've got so much talent at the safety spot. Stevie Brown's come in, and he's done well. Will Hill's been a pleasant surprise. And of course, I know he plays corner, but Jerron Hosley's helped in the nickel package as well. So talk about all the athletes you have back there.
Well, I think we had a couple of injuries early on, so people was forced to play. So I think those guys took it upon themselves to prepare themselves like starters, so if anything happened, they'll be ready. So anytime anybody number was called, Trell was easily ready to move into the nickel position. Hosley did the same thing when his number was called. When KP had to go down, Stevie Brown stepped in and played well. So I think that just comes, how we prepare. Everybody prepare like a starter in this league, and it shows when somebody goes down, everybody can step up and answer the bell.
Let's start taking some calls. How about that?
Ready?
201-939-4513. First call up is Kareem. Kareem, welcome. You're on with Corey Webster.
Corey, how you doing?
How you doing, Kareem?
Good. first of all, you know, huge Giant fan, get a win for us this week. Second of all, my question is, why is it that this season you feel the Giants have given up so many big plays in the passing game, and what can be done to improve on it in future weeks?
I think a lot of our the MEs are the big plays come from busted plays or, you know, guys, mental errors, everybody not communicating the calls all the way across the field. A lot of those MEs doesn't come from just a physical play. Some of those mental busts. So I think if we could eliminate some of those mental errors and know just where the playmakers are at all times, I think we could just eliminate some of those big plays.
Now, next up, the New Orleans Saints. They're coming to MetLife Stadium in a more conventional style of offense than what you had to prepare for with RG3 and the Redskins. What do you prefer?
I kind of prefer conventional, you know what I mean? I think it gets everybody settled back in the flow of things. You know, it's, in that little wildcat, that pistol formation, you never know what to expect out of that. So we like the conventional.
Now, Drew Brees actually has had quite a lot of success against you guys in the past. 5 interceptions last week against the Atlanta Falcons, and not the vintage Drew Brees that we've come to see year in and year out. What's the biggest difference with him right now?
Not sure. Normally he does a great job of taking care of the ball. I think this year with those 5 interceptions, and he had a couple in other games. Hopefully we can keep that going and we can get some of those turnovers off him. But I think we just have to, like I said, you know, if we know our assignments so we could eliminate some of those MEs, know where his playmakers are, we know the guys that he likes to throw the ball to, I think that can help us out tremendously.
And a much different team, the Saints, when they're on the road as opposed to in New Orleans with the dome. Some of your players said, OC said they want it windy, cold, rainy. Bring the bad weather against Drew Brees.
We want all that. I think, you know, in the dome, you can keep it comfortable. You know, you can set the temperature and just let it go. You know, out here in MetLife, it's a whole different animal. You know what I mean?
Going to be doing a rain dance.
Oh, yeah, all day.
Corey Webster, we have him for one more segment. We're going to continue to take your calls. 201-939-4513. We'll be right back.
For me, being a leader is all about being a servant, being willing to sacrifice for your teammates, taking away the ego, forgetting about the name on the back of your jersey and focusing on the logo on the side of the helmet, that NY. That's really what leadership is about.
Hi. Do you like fun?
How about friends?
Okay. What do you think about paying for things?
Oh, you don't like that.
So you're a free man.
Well, if you have the internet and a desire to reign supreme over all living creatures, then I've got a little ding-dong for your Liberty Bell. It's called NFL.com Fantasy Football. And it's about as hard as lacing up a loafer.
Go to NFL.com/fantasy to sign up now.
It's serious fun.
Hi, I'm Tom Coughlin, head coach of the New York Giants. Watching your child suffer from cancer is almost unimaginable, but it is very real for many families. The J Fund can't make the pain go away, but it can help in so many ways. We are providing financial and emotional aid for more families in the New York, New Jersey area each year.
When it was real bad, they stepped up financially. Words can't even describe what these people have done for us.
For more information, call the number here or visit us at tcjfund.org.
Giants fans, we all know that Hurricane Sandy has devastated many of our communities.
Your support can help the Red Cross provide warm meals, shelter, and hope for the families and friends when they need it the most.
Your donation will provide critical support to those in need. Text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10 or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
When it comes to leadership, I think it's something that has to come naturally. And, you know, you just have to come across with the right message, but at the same time, you can't only talk it, you have to walk it.
Welcome back. Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess. Anita Marks here with Corey Webster and, of course, you taking your calls. 201-939-4513. And we're going to kick it off with BJ calling in from Brooklyn. BJ, welcome.
Thanks, Corey.
BJ.
Corey.
How you
doing? Listen, huge game, huge game, huge game for the Giants this week. Again, brutal loss. I would rather get blown out than what happened this past Sunday. But listen, it is what it is. We've got to look forward. Massive. Every single game is very big, especially Washington has the thoughts of the Ravens. They have an easy schedule. I'm saying they're playing Philly and Dallas, I think. So this game for the Giants is massive. The secondary must step up, and you included, of course. Your
BJ, do you have a question? Do you have a question?
Yes. I want to know. I want to know, Corey, how you prepare yourself every week in out in order to take the number one receiver of the opposing team, as you usually do. How do you prepare yourself mentally, and how are you looking forward to this week against New Orleans?
For one, I watch a lot of film work, try to pick up any tip or tendency that I can get out of the receiver or the quarterback that we're facing. See if they, leaving anything out there, if they're doing anything with their feet work or in a route. And I go to practice every day and compete at a high level against all the receivers that we have. And I live up and look for that challenge every week.
Well, their number one wide receiver is Marcus Colston. So talk about that challenge. What's so special? What's so unique? What does he do well? What's going to be your biggest challenge this week?
Well, I think he's a big guy, and Drew Brees uses his size well. I think he throws the ball in places where it's away from the receivers, it's up high, so he can go at the high level and get the ball. But I also think if we put our hands on him and try to change up that timing, like we talked about earlier at the line of scrimmage, I think we'd be okay with it.
Again, 201-939-4513. We go to Manhattan, and we have Maria calling in. Maria, welcome. You're on with Corey Webster.
Hi, Corey. Just want to give you a big blue shout-out from the L8 tailgate.
Thank you very much, Miss Maria.
I'm a little nervous. You're really cute.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
But I'll get to my question. I want to know who you think the bigger threat is on Sunday, Colston or Jimmy Graham?
That's a good one. I think they're both talented in their own right. I think Drew Brees does a great job of getting the ball on what they need to. I think we have to be cognizant of where they both line up on the field at all times. I think that'll help us eliminate their big plays, because we know they're going to throw the ball to those two guys. They're big keys in the offense. So if we stick close in coverage to them, I think we'd be okay.
Does it surprise you or impress you, I should say, that Jimmy Graham played basketball at the University of Miami, did not have the football tutelage that a lot of tight ends and a lot of football players have had, and he's arguably one of the best tight ends in the NFL?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, because a lot of that has been going on with the tight end position. I mean, you got Gates did the same thing.
Tony Gonzalez,
a lot of them. So it's kind of basketball. There's a lot of athletic ability going there. They're throwing the ball at the high level, and they let them go up and get it, those big guys.
I knew you'd say that. Corey has a basketball sitting outside his locker all the time.
There you go.
So I figured that would warrant some props. Let's talk about the running back situation. They finally get Darren Sproles back. Kind of had the same injury you had with his hand. Mm-hmm. And they utilize him in the passing game a lot. Besides him, they have Chris Ivory, Pierre Thomas, Mark Ingram, and they kind of utilize all these guys in different ways. Mm-hmm. So you never know who's going to be in that backfield.
Yeah, I think they do a good job of using them, and they use the personnel, to their ability. I mean, Sproles, he creates matchup for people, Linebackers, it's harder. He's shifty guys, harder to cover him. And the other guys are good pound, run the ball downhill type of guys. So when Sproles in the game, we have to be cognizant of where he is on the field, because the screen plays and the different things that they like to do with him, getting him out quick in the flat. So I think it'd be a good challenge against us, but our linebackers and everybody is up for it.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Jesse calling in from New York. Jesse, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
What's your question for Corey?
My question for Corey is, the Giants' defenses look really good in games like San Francisco, but also you guys have had your struggles like the Cincinnati game, and I was wondering what you feel like the biggest difference in those games is for you defensively.
You're right. I think we need to be more consistent. I think that comes with everybody knowing their jobs to the minute detail. And that eliminates a lot of that, like I said earlier, those MEs, those mental busts. In Cincinnati game, we had a couple of MEs that Cincinnati didn't do really anything to create those big plays. We were just kind of out of position. So if we eliminate those type of plays, I think we'll be more consistent, and we'll be a better defense if we do so.
Now, unfortunately, because you did lose to the Redskins, where you stand right now, your record in that NFC East, it's going to come down to the wire. Mm-hmm. Your head coach, Tom Coughlin, says that he anticipates this team to go 4-0. That way, you guys are still in the driver's seat, and you control your own destiny. Has that been a talk amongst the players? Are you guys well aware of where you stand and what you need to do to get to the playoffs?
Well, Coach Coughlin makes sure we're aware of where
sure.
we stand. But I think it was a good position. Our destiny is in our own hand. Our fate doesn't you know, go off of anybody else or what anybody else does. So I think as long as we go back to the drawing board each and every week and get better, I think we'll be okay, and we'll come out victorious.
Last but not least, a lot of talk this week and the fact that Spags, old defensive coordinator here with the Giants, knows this offense really well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, don't you feel that it's an advantage for the Giants and Kevin Gilbride as well, the fact that he knows Spags' defense?
It goes both ways.
Right?
We know him just as well as he knows us. So I think it'd be good to see him on the other sideline. Hopefully everything works out and we come out victorious and we can shake his hand and wish him up.
Corey, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. It's about that time we make the switch. Paul Dottino is in for John Schmoke today, so he'll join us. We'll continue to take your calls and talk about this matchup, the Giants facing the Saints, coming up on Sunday here at MetLife Stadium. In the meantime, you had Chris Canty. It's that time of the season where the Giants players like to give back to the community. Chris Canty in Harlem at a food bank. Let's take a look.
Who's going to start it off? Let's go. Let's start it off. Let's go. We're here at the Food Bank Kitchen in Harlem on 116th Street, and we're serving Thanksgiving dinner for those that are in need. It's a great event. Got a great crowd. Got my teammates Matt Broha and Wale and Jomo here helping out. Don't fumble. Don't fumble.
This school, Harlem Success Corp, and they donated over 700 cans of food for the community because of Hurricane Sandy and because they said people are hungry.
This is the kind of stuff that we need in our community. This is the kind of upbringing, the teaching. I think we're in good hands, Chris.
Absolutely, I think we're in good hands.
I gotta congratulate
you guys. That is awesome that y'all are doing that, that y'all are conscious of what's going on in y'all community, and y'all are doing y'all part to give back. I'm glad that y'all understand that even y'all at a very young age has something to give, and I appreciate y'all being here.
My hat goes off to the New York Giants and their organization. And you know, the amazing thing is they come in with so much energy. They're happy, they bring in joy. So when they come here and they see this, it just makes a tough day a little easier to bear.
I appreciate your help.
Yeah. Thank you. That's good, man. Chris, what you think?
You lied, huh? While they carved up the turkey, did a pretty good job, so I gotta give a hats off to him, but we're having a good time, and we're here serving those that are in need.
There you go, brother. Happy Thanksgiving, sir. Hold on, let me give you a juice.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. There's so many that are in need still that don't have a hot meal, and so just to have the opportunity to come here and serve and help to provide that means a lot to me, means a lot to the Giants and my teammates. So we're just thankful for the opportunity to give back. It's an honor and a privilege, and we approach it as such, and so we're excited to be here. Happy Thanksgiving. Absolutely.
Real quick, I just want to thank everybody for coming. First, before I get to the big guys to my right, we got to thank Stop and Shop.
Yes.
Because without their donation of 1,000 turkeys, we don't have a reason to really gather here, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
job.
Welcome back. Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess and Anita Marks, and we have made the switch. Paul Dottino joins us in studio. So, Paul, let's talk about today's practice. Some guys that were no-goes, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, you know, Phillips and Bradshaw we kind of expected because they were no-goes yesterday, but then suddenly Hakeem Nicks wound up on the stationary bike today. That knee is acting up. Coach Coughlin said they had to put him on the side. He's hoping he's going to be ready for Sunday, but, you know, that's a chronic deal. You just don't know.
It's been something that Hakeem Nicks and this offense has really had to deal with all season long.
Yeah, and the thing about it is it affects everybody down the line. It affects Victor Cruz, it affects Eli Manning, it affects everything, including the running game.
Now, a positive note, linebacker Jaquan Williams practiced for the second time this week, and fingers crossed, hoping that he's going to suit up and play. We know this defense is going to need him against Drew Brees.
Well, yeah, because he's another one of those fast, athletic kind of guys in the back seven, and when you're talking about the variety of weapons that the Saints have, whether they be running backs, tight ends, or wide receivers, anytime you get extra speed on the field, it's a good thing.
Now, again, we're going to continue to take your calls talking about this matchup, the Giants taking on the Saints on Sunday. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Had an opportunity to talk to Corey Webster about the standings in the NFC East. The Giants still in control of their own destiny, but it's going to be a wild ride how this whole thing plays out, Paul.
Well, you know, Anita, Tom Coughlin said they've got to win their final four games, and I get that because mathematically speaking, they win all four. It's the only way they can lock out both the Cowboys and the Redskins. If the Giants finish tied with either one of those teams, they will lose the tiebreaker. Tom does not want it to come down to that.
Well, OCU Manure spoke to the media today, and he says, listen, you never know what's going to happen. So sit here and say that a hot Washington Redskins team is going to run the gamut. You just don't know. Also, kind of feels a little like Groundhog's Day. I mean, last year, this is a team that when their backs are to the wall, then they go on the run. I mean, that's what happened last year. They got hot. They peaked at the right time. Could we be seeing the same thing, Paul?
Well, it was a bad loss to the Redskins that left the Giants at 7-7, and then they won their final two games against the Jets and Dallas and then went right through the postseason and won the Super Bowl. Could it happen again? Sure. But at this point, the Giants have only brought maybe their A or A-minus game three times this year. Anita, they've played 12. They need to do better.
Let's talk about what did not go right against the Redskins that this team is hoping to correct against the Saints, and that's penalties. What, 9 penalties for negative 73 yards. How is that corrected this week?
Both of those numbers were season highs. As you know, the Giants were the least penalized team in the NFL going into last weekend's games, and, you know, it's about discipline. You know, I know it was kind of a ragged game in some regards, a little bit sloppy on both sides of the ball, and I think the Giants got sucked into that. And critical penalties, you had the kickoff return by Wilson for 50 yards that got called back on a hold. Then you had a first down completion on third down to Martellus Bennett that came back on a hold. Those two penalties, as the Giants were trying to come back from a one-point deficit, really killed this team.
A lot of fans that were watching the game, a little perplexed as to why the second half the offense wasn't moving the chains like they were the first half, or the style of play wasn't as exciting or aggressive as the first half. Why was that, Paul?
Well, you know, I see two things happening there, Anita. First of all, the Redskins had clearly stolen the momentum in the second half and then into the fourth quarter, and they're run blitzing left and right. Not just pass blitzing, but run blitzing. And they're sending the kitchen sink and they're stuffing holes, slowing down the Giants' running game. But the other problem was field position. You know, the Giants only had 8 possessions in the game, and their average start of drive was their own 15. Now, you don't have to be a genius to figure out that changes a lot of things for your team when it's tilted, the field is, in the other direction. That was a big problem.
Also, keep in mind, when they get into the red zone, as Tom Coughlin likes to call it, the green zone, they're settling for 3 and not punching it in for 7. How does that change? That needs to change against the Saints,
well,
because the Saints, they're very good in the green zone.
70% inside the red zone for the Saints, number one in the NFL. Giants just not getting it done there. The power running game must return. It's the only way you're going to get 7s instead of 3s. Pound the football.
Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, and of course you. We're going to continue to take your calls. One more segment left here on Big Blue Hits Live, 201-939-4513.
My love for the game is just a deep passion of football that I have. Been playing this game for so long now. You know, just putting my heart into it and bringing all the passion into it is what I try to do.
Hi. Do you like fun?
How about friends?
Okay. What do you think about paying for things?
Oh, you don't like that.
So you're a free man.
Well, if you have the internet and a desire to reign supreme over all living creatures, then I've got a little ding-dong for your Liberty Bell. It's called NFL.com Fantasy Football. And it's about as hard as lacing up a loafer.
Go to NFL.com/fantasy to sign up now.
It's serious fun.
Hi, I'm Tom Coughlin, head coach of the New York Giants. Watching your child suffer from cancer is almost unimaginable, but it is very real for many families. The J Fund can make the pain go away, but it can help in so many ways. We are providing financial and emotional aid for more families in the New York, New Jersey area each year.
When it was real bad, they stepped up financially. Words can't even describe what these people have done for us.
For more information, call the number here or visit us at tcjfund.org.
Giants fans, we all know that Hurricane Sandy has devastated many of our communities.
Your support can help the Red Cross provide warm meals, shelter, and hope for the families and friends when they need it the most.
Your donation will provide critical support to those in need. Text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10 or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
To me, leadership isn't about what you say. It's not necessarily about what you do either. It's about how you do it. A lot of young guys watching me in every move that I make, and you know, you just got to go out there and do your job. That's what I feel as though leadership is about.
Welcome back. Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess. Anita Marks here with Paul Dottino. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Paul, let's talk about the Giants' rushing attack. It's been very good since after the bye. Solid game against Green Bay and a solid game against the Washington Redskins, who happen to be pretty good against the rush.
Well, you know, I think the bye week did Ahmad Bradshaw some good. He's not nearly 100%. He's got that chronic foot problem like Nick's has the knee and the ankle deal. But I do think that the rest did him some good and did rejuvenate him some. The thing that I liked about what Bradshaw did against the Redskins, Anita, he ran with power and strength and force, and it wasn't necessarily the first defender that brought him down. He was able to get that extra push into that second gear. That bodes well for the Giants down the stretch.
It does, but unfortunately, Ahmad Bradshaw, again, did not practice today.
But that's kind of usual for him. He tries to get out there maybe once a week and then saves all his bullets for Sunday. We'll see how many bullets he's got.
Now, on a positive note, David Wilson spoke to the media today, and he said head coach Tom Coughlin actually pulled him aside after practice and commended him on a great practice.
So
with that being said, what can we anticipate? Fans want to see this guy get on the field, Paulie. What can we anticipate with David Wilson this week?
Maybe the rookie's growing up, Anita. Just maybe, you know?
Maybe.
They've been trying to coach him up as well as they can, and apparently he didn't have any MEs in the small portion of action that he had against the Redskins, and he's doing better in practice, which may bode well for him, because the Saints are giving up an average of about 7 yards a carry when teams run at either sideline. They are very weak in their run support off of the edges. Their better run defensive players are along their front four when they pack it in between the tackles. Wilson could do some damage on them.
On an average, though, they're giving up over 5 yards per carry, regardless of
where, yards a game.
Regardless of where you run.
Yeah.
And again, I think I talked about this with John the last show. I mean, let's commend Henry Anoski and how great this team is and how great their teammates are, that Henry takes the time before practice, after practice, comes in early, stays late. A lot of these guys helping to get David Wilson ready.
Well, you know why? I was talking to Heino about that last week, and he said to me, I remember what it was like to be a rookie last season, and I know how difficult it was to learn the NFL game and how uncomfortable it is to be in a new locker room after being with all your college buddies for several years. And he said he really felt for David Wilson's spot, being a number one draft pick. That's a lot of pressure coming here to New York. And he felt like, you know what, I got to be a big brother. I got to help this kid out. I want to make him feel as good as I feel. And it's worked.
Well, let's talk about Martellus Bennett. Finally gets some action and actually does extremely well against a Washington Redskins team who's not very good against tight ends. They gave up 7 tight ends going into that game against the Giants. Now they're sitting at 8. But even though the Saints are not that great defensively, they're actually quite good against opposing tight ends, probably because they go up against Jimmy Graham all week at practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we expect the same thing from Bennett this week?
See, I'm not so sure, Anita, because if you're the Giants and you know that they defend tight ends well, and you know that David Deal is playing right tackle right now, and he's been a little bit suspect in his pass protection this year, you're probably going to keep Martellus Bennett in more to help out with pass protection, whether it's a double team or a chip. That seems to me the better way to go, because why send him out in a row if you don't think he's going to get open?
And as you said, unfortunately, Sean Locklear, the Giants lose him to a knee injury, David Deal back at his starting position.
Right, and Deal is a little bit more of a drive blocker and a run blocker than Locklear, who was much better in pass protection. In fact, Locklear was stellar in pass protection this year. Now he's got that leg surgery and obviously on IR.
And again, talked about this with Corey Webster. Big talk this week is Spags, knowing this offense, knowing Kevin Gilbride, but it plays both ways.
Well, it does, but I'm a big Spags guy, and I know that anytime the Giants are in a big spot and they need a big play, he's going to send the dogs. You know he will.
All right, less than a minute of the show. Give us your 3 keys to the game. What do the Giants need to do to win on Sunday?
All right, let's go back to what you said earlier about running the ball. Look, the Saints are giving up about 150 yards a game on the ground. Giants got to run the ball and keep the ball out of Brees' hands. Number 2, dirty Drew Brees' windshield. Get in his face. Don't let him have clean passing lanes right in front of the pocket. And number 3, field position. Look, the Giants started average field position 15 in Washington. It didn't work. Got to get the ball out to the 25, to the 30, to the 35. Tilt the field against Drew Brees.
He's Paul Dottino. I'm Anita Marks. We want to thank so much to Corey Webster for joining us as well, and you as well for joining our show. Keep in mind, we're here every Thursday, 4 o'clock, Big Blue Hits Live. Have a great night, everybody.